There's something that took place back in 1993 that is on the minds of those of us who were maybe 15, 20 years old at the time. Some of the others may have forgotten it, but we all have heard about that time. And it was a period of time, and maybe some of our youth, younger people, may not like to have it brought up a lot. But it was such a huge, huge disaster, I guess, in the minds of those who were in the church at the time, that it's just embedded in the mind of those of us who went through it. The story goes, and maybe I have told this story before, the longer I'm here, the more chance I'll repeat something, maybe every other week, I hope not. But we had friends who were actually a pastor and his wife in the church. Several pastors and their wives, of course, and more than one went through this same scenario. I guess we could say on the telephone we would have gone through the same type of conversation. And that was when at first things were breaking up. And as we know, there had been no church up to that time that Christianity Today was familiar with that had actually given up every single doctrine. It had turned it around 180 degrees, eventually, if not right away. So when we talked to this couple, it was like, no, we know God's commandments are right. And you know, as we, as I'm thinking about the sermon, we sang songs today, and we heard in the Bible study about obeying God's law. And so the answer was initially, oh no, we know we have to keep the commandments. We know we have to keep the Sabbath. 1 month later, on the same phone call, opening up, you know, being friendly, it's like, you know, Greg and Marion, we now understand Galatians. Ever since that time, Galatians has been in my mind as a book that I should teach very, very clearly, if that can be done, and it can be, so that we never, ever, in the history of God's church going forth in the future, we never again have people say, I know Galatians tells us we don't have to keep the law. So if you go through that and you go from 150,000 people in the church down to 20,000, maybe 30,000 in all the churches of God, maybe more who stay at home, we don't really know the count of those who are obeying God because quite a few have been just scattered and are keeping things at home. But you never want to see that again as a church pastor or as a member of the church where you have friends that have actually gone out of the church because they don't believe you any longer need to keep the law. Despite what it says in Psalms, despite what it says in Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30, and 31, despite what you have throughout so many books of the Bible telling us to keep the law of God, you still don't want ever that to happen again. So today I'm going to go through an introduction to Galatians. And going to this book, let's turn first of all to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, I believe it would be. And maybe I left those notes somewhere else, but I'll turn to it anyway here and just read it from the Bible. This is where the Apostle Paul is talking about, the Apostle Peter is talking about the Apostle Paul. And that's in 2 Peter chapter 3. This is not a new verse to you, 2 Peter 3 and verse 16 approximately. And I'll get to it. This is Paul, verse 15, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood. Galatians is a book that definitely is a book that is hard to be understood. This is why people will read it and say, you do not have to keep the law of God. If you go to AI asking the question, and that's where we go now, at least that's where the answer comes up from, is AI. AI, by the way, is artificial intelligence, as you know, and it does have sources that it's quoting from. So I can't say that AI is just a robot out there and kind of comes up on its own with answers. It is quoting different books, different sources, and has those sources at its disposal in a split second. So I ask AI, I actually ask Google, what is the meaning of Galatians? And the answer was, two different sections, but the answer was, no longer do you need to keep the Mosaic law. The second was, no longer do you need to be in bondage to the law, but we can be just guided by the Holy Spirit. But basically, it's turning on the law. I told you before that I have a couple commentaries on Galatians, and both are the same, and both are exactly what Martin Luther would say, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther of the 1600s. It has not changed, and that is you live by faith in Christ, and you do not have to keep the law. Better yet, you don't need to be in bondage to the law. Now, we know God talks about the law of liberty, that the law that we are to keep is a law of liberty. And if we just listen closely, as all of us did, to what we just heard in the Bible study, we know that we must obey the law of God. We must obey the commandments if we are going to be blessed. Tremendous blessing. And actually, chapter 31 of, let's see, it was Deuteronomy, is quoted in Romans 10. Almost exactly, it is the exact quote if you go there. And again, people are using, in this case, a quote from a source that tells you to keep the law to tell you in Romans 10 that you don't need to keep the law. And how that happens is because human beings are hostile to the law of God. So we don't want that happening again, do we? So we want to learn. Here it says in this verse, in verse 16, those who are unlearned or untaught are the ones who get in trouble, and they twist the scriptures as they do all of the other scriptures, it says, I believe, to their own destruction, the rest of the scriptures. So it's an attitude of hostility towards God's law. Now, I am not going to go to the scriptures or go to the fact that the reason people quite often start thinking that they do not need to obey, that they do not need to conform to God's law, is because of sin. A good understanding have all those who keep the commandments. If we, any of us, including myself, including any minister, if you've been around 50 years, 60 years in the church, it wouldn't matter. If someone starts practicing sin, we automatically lose understanding. And we would come to the same conclusion that everyone else in the world would come to, and that is, no, you don't have to keep the Mosaic law or the works of law. So that word is brought up. And when they use that term, any term in Galatians that is law considers the Ten Commandments part of the law that you don't need to keep. That's what they do. And we need to be aware of that. Now, I found out from an older minister, it was Mr. Richard Pennelly, that changes came back in, well, that would be probably the 1950s, the late 1950s, even though the church was teaching correctly about the book of Galatians. There were teachers in Ambassador College that were teaching just the opposite. Maybe not totally the opposite, it was perverting the gospel. And maybe a little bit more could be said about that later. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at chapter 1 at least, and we're going to look at certain words. And I might mention here that the huge problem, because you can take a look at some of the things like faith in Christ, faith in God, and there is seemingly no problem with that statement. But there is a problem with statements, reading certain words, and then coming up with a definition that is correct. That's where the problem is. So you can read, you can say, oh yes, we need faith. You can read and you can say, oh yes, you know, we don't need to be circumcised. which is true. We don't need to be circumcised. But there are certain words, if unknown, as far as the definition. Definition unknown gets us into trouble. If we don't know what sin is, if we don't know what the word transgression is, if we don't know what the word faith means, and we're going to go through that today, then we get ourselves in trouble. Because from the King James Bible to the New King James Bible, there was a perversion of the word. And you might, and a lot of people don't even notice it. Don't even notice it. It creeps into the church. So we're going to take a look then at certain words, and we'll only cover the first chapter. Actually, the first chapter gives us a guideline, basically, an outline of the entire book. Although you go on in chapter 2 and chapter 3, basically, and you'll see an expansion of what chapter 1 is going through. So you have the word sin and transgression, sin and transgression that we'll take a look at. The second would be the word faith. And I'll mention up front that in the book of Galatians, you don't even see the book faith until basically the second to the last verse of the first chapter. How many times is faith mentioned in the book of Galatians? Now, I'm not going to tell you right now, but if you think about it, would you come up with 3 times, 5 times, 10 times, 15 times, 3,000? Probably you know you'd be wrong. How many thinks there's 3,000 times in? Okay, just making sure you're awake. So you have a book here, and the word faith is used 1 time in the first chapter. How many times in the entire book? Now, when I study, by the way, a book, I don't, you know, lock in on every word to figure out how many times the word is used. But sometimes it is important if you want to see one of the themes of the book. And then the gospel of Christ being perverted. What in the world was that all about? How was it perverted? I gave you an idea just a few moments ago when I said there's a perversion of the word faith. Not total, because it's partially right. But New King James is wrong 3/4 of the time, probably. 3/4 of the time. Okay, so what we're going to do then is look at sin first in the scriptures. Mostly will be in Galatians. And then we'll look at faith. We're laying a foundation with the understanding of these words and coming up to certain conclusions when we do. And then we're going to look at the gospel of Christ perverted. And that will end the what I wanted to cover today. Although there's a lot of material on it, and I probably will send you at least one study paper on faith in, faith of. If you don't have that, it's very important. Because again, there's going to be coming a time when there's a man of sin, and that man of sin is going to come with signs and wonders and power. Signs, wonders, and power. What's interesting about that is Paul preached the gospel with signs, wonders, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting how Satan the devil is doing the same thing, signs, wonders, only not by the power of Satan the devil. It's by the power, of course, not by the power of God's Spirit, but by the power of Satan the devil, is what the man of sin does. Okay, so in taking a look at the word sin, we start in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, and it's coming off of verse 3, Jesus Christ, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So we see that word, we realize immediately that sin is the transgression of God's law. When we read, we want to do a study, we want to think about what the word means. And with that one, there's not a problem, because he gave himself for our sins. Mankind had been sinning. Sin was there. There was the first covenant. There was the Ten Commandments. But Some now think what? What is it thinking? Well, there's no longer commandments that you have to keep. And I've told stories about that. I think about a Jehovah Witness who got in the car with me and wanted to witness to me. And there are other stories about the law of God being done away. But he wants us to, he wants to deliver us from this present evil age. That's the one verse there in Galatians. And then we come down to chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. So sinners were still around. When we look at this, and the main focus I want us to think about when we think about Christ doing away with sin, is commandments still existed. The law of God still existed. Anytime you see the word sin or sinner or transgression, you can immediately start thinking, well, by this time, Jesus Christ had already been crucified. And so wouldn't you think that the law would be done away? Why would sinners, even Gentile sinners, still exist? Why would there be sin if there is no law? There has to be, to transgress a law, you have to have a law. And so when we think about that, it's sinners of the Gentiles. And still in about 55 AD, Galatians would have been one of the first books that Paul wrote. And you have sin. Verse 17, if we seek to be justified, another word that we really need to understand, and I'll just let you know right now, just quickly, that you do a study of righteousness and justification and justified and just. It's all from the same Greek word. In fact, if you look at them, verbs, nouns, adjectives, you get a Greek 1342, 1343, and 1344. I have a really good memory because I gave this sermon this morning. But anyway, you have this tie-in, and people oftentimes put a wrong definition to the word just or justified. So while we seek to be made right, and why would we seek to be made right when the law disappeared, when commandments disappeared, when Christ died on the cross? Because again, that's what people say. That is the conclusion of commentators. I'll call commentators, or people are writing commentaries on the book of Galatians. So you have these commentaries that basically tell you the same thing that I told you, that AI tells us, and that is we do not have to obey those laws, Mosaic laws, or the laws that cause us to be in bondage. So we have, again, if we seek to be justified by Christ, we're found sinners. How can that be if the law has been done away? If I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So in Galatians, you find out that you can actually give up something where you no longer sin because you're doing something else, you're believing something else, and you no longer practice sin, at least. And if you go back to something that you believed before, you now are going to be a sinner, transgressor of the law. How could that be? The law has been done away. And the question we would have is, what was it that Paul was doing before where he was a transgressor? And what did he start doing? What did he start believing that caused him not to be a transgressor, meaning a practicing sinner? So we take a look at that. And again, we know from the Bible, the description is 1 John 2:4, sin is a transgression of the law. Always try to use the Bible to define or describe the Bible. And then going on, one other section here in Galatians is Galatians 3, verse 19 and verse 22. What purpose then does the law serve? Okay, so the law serves a purpose. What purpose does which law serve? So with the Apostle Paul, it's a little bit complex, a little bit hard to understand, because he doesn't really explain himself fully until you get to the book of Romans, which is also twisted. So you have a statement that I'll just refer to, through the law, I died to the law. So you have a law, through a law, I died to another law. So which law do you die to? Which laws? Now, I did give a sermon on this, but it's been a while, so you may not remember Galatians 2:19. But I'm just showing how it's hard to understand. He didn't say, through the law of dot, 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 I died to the law of dot, dot, dot. He doesn't say that. You have to read everything he said in the book of, well, most everything in the book of Romans. I suppose with Romans, you only need to read up to about chapter 9, because there's a little switch there in Romans to another theme. But you take a look at this, and then you say, the law is added because of transgressions. What law was added because of transgressions? We're talking about sin, and I'm not going to give all the answers right now, because I want you to, I want to be able to give 40 more sermons on this subject before I retire. not really. And then finally, in verse 22, the scriptures confined all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, and we'll come to these words of faith next. So you can find all under sin, that the promise by faith, maybe that answers the question of Galatians 2:19. Because now you have under sin, you're under sin. What kind of sin are you under? That's explained in the book of Romans. You are under sin. The penalty, well, always if we sin, there's going to be a penalty. But under sin, the word under is used for two different things that you'd be describing that you're under. And one would be when you are actually transgressing the law. But anyway, that the promise by faith. So can you put those two together when you're answering Galatians 2:19? I'll just give you a lesson, an assignment. I'll give you an assignment so you can take this Galatians 3:22 and then use it to maybe figure out Galatians 2 and verse 19. Can you do that? And then come back next week after that, anyway, we can see what you come up with. But those are the things that we understand about sin, and that is, as I will repeat, when we read that there is sin, still we know the commandments have not been done away. If God says, hey, I'm going to be a transgressor like I was before if I do such and such, and it's like, hey, I'm not going to be a transgressor because there is no law, you shall not steal. I'm not going to be a transgressor because I can't break the Sabbath, transgress the Sabbath, because it's gone. I think we all get the point. But those people who went out of the church in 1993, they were duped, and there's a deception that comes along with, and that's what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, there's a deception that goes along with this man of sin. And he seems to be right. Probably very charismatic. Probably a fellow who's a really good teacher. Remember, Paul was not a good teacher, supposedly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But the other apostles were good teachers. Maybe very clear. Okay, let's go to the word faith then. So that's what we look at, sin now. And that doesn't cover the whole subject, except it shows that the law is still in vogue, so to speak. It's still active and real. Okay, what about the word faith? Now ask the question, how many times do you find the word faith in the book of Galatians? And I won't ask for a show of hands, but I think I did ask my family. And the answer is not 5, it is not 10, it is not 15, the answer is 19 times. 19 times. Why is that important? Well, it's important if you know that it is not just faith in, that it's a faith of. That is important. But it's important because the book of Galatians uses the term faith more than any book in the entire Bible based on its size. So we're talking about a ratio. More in the book of Galatians. So you think that the book of Galatians has anything to do with faith. And that's good if you know it's faith of. I'll hit some of these areas here. I won't go through every single one of them. But let's take a look in our Bible in Galatians. Where it tells us what faith does, okay? We know, let's start with this. We know the second to the last verse, I believe, maybe I said this already, of chapter 1, says that Paul started doing something that he absolutely refused to do in the past. And that is, he started preaching the faith of Christ. He started preaching faith, which he hadn't preached before. So he's converted, and now that's a subject he will start preaching. Okay, then you go to Galatians 2, verse 16. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. How many of you have a New King James Bible? Yeah, so you see that that's in. How many of you have a King James Bible or another translation? Some of you do, I know. So faith, it should be faith of. And I'll emphasize once again, there was a huge change when King James died. No, I'm just being funny there. The change didn't come then because we had the King James Bible a long time before the New King James came out, right? So when the New King James came out and was used, well, when it came out, the translator translated virtually everything faith in. Huge difference because you can have a faith, a belief that is yours, okay? And you can believe that Jesus Christ was crucified. But to have faith of Christ means that there is something that has transpired, something in your life, where now you have the very same faith of Christ, the faith that he had. I think, was that Mr. Kylo talking about what destroys faith? By the way, Mr. Kylo just started presenting. This is the first time that I've seen him with Life, Hope, and Truth Presents. And he ain't so bad. Yeah, he's just a natural, actually. And this is the first time. By the way, he would be one of the ones, because he's over media, who chose the four presenters on Life, Hope, and Truth Presents. And this, he started, and I thought, well, it's like he's been doing it all along. Very natural, and it's like you're in the room with him. But he talked about doubts and human reasoning that you would have that would be an enemy of faith. There were four enemies of faith. So you'll want to pick that up if you haven't had the time to do that. So anyway, it tells us here in verse 16 that we are justified, we are made right by not just believing that Christ died for your sins. You are made right by the faith of Christ. And by the way, the faith of Christ is impossible until he dies and is resurrected and goes to the throne of God, goes to the most holy place, and also establishes a covenant. I would like all of us, when we think of Christ's crucifixion, to think of a new covenant sacrifice. Because then we don't get off the beaten path. We're not going to say something defining the crucifixion that is not in the Bible. We will always be sticking to the main core. The crucifixion of Christ was a sacrifice that was for the new covenant. That's what it was for. And we want to think about that. Then we won't get off the beaten path at all. So we are made right by the faith of Christ. We can go to Well, let's see. It would be Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. We are sons of Abraham. And then verse 8 of Galatians 3, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. So you have same thing as we read before, but Gentiles are justified by the faith of Christ. And then let's see. If we go down to verse 5 of Galatians 5, just giving you some samples here, we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, Mr. Dave Johnson explained that very clearly when he was going through this. And by the way, we've had Mr. Holliday back in United who gave a session on Galatians, Mr. Kirkpatrick, who did the same thing, and then also Mr. Johnson, who's gone through the entire book. And Mr. Johnson explained it in a way that hit me when he explained it, and that is the question, are we going to only be righteous when we are resurrected? So I have a hope of being righteous, and the answer is, no, that's not what it means. It means that when we are righteous, so we seek the kingdom of God, that is the gospel, we are seeking the goal of the kingdom of God and righteousness. And so when we are righteous, we can hope to be in the kingdom. If we are not righteous, we cannot hope to be in the kingdom. That's what this means. The hope of righteousness is God's kingdom. So that's what we have with faith. It is faith that does that. The promise by faith. Verse 22. The scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith. Another scripture here. Verse 22 of Galatians back in chapter 3. And I'm sorry I skipped back on you on that one. I know you can just maybe mark it down. But I just went back for a moment. But the hope of righteousness is also by faith. So faith of, how did we receive the Holy Spirit? Was it by faith or was it by works of law? That's another question that you find in Galatians chapter 3. How did we have the Holy Spirit? So you have righteousness that comes by faith. You have the Holy Spirit that comes. You have righteousness. And when you have justification and righteousness, you again come back to some of the same things. So when you do a study of this, and by the way, this word household of faith is one that's used with the fires out in California. We pray for the household of faith. That'd be those people who have the faith of Christ. So very important to understand what faith is. Without faith, we cannot please God. And what kind of faith is Christ himself? Let me ask you this. What is the mystery that has been hidden for ages? The mystery that has been hidden for ages. The answer would be in Colossians chapter 1. And that mystery has to do with Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we can't even hope to be spirit beings unless we have the mind of Christ in us. And I'll let you go to another scripture in Galatians 2:20. You can put that down because it's something that is said there about living by faith. Living by faith. And we'll tie some of these things together even later on. But faith is very important, especially understanding faith of instead of faith in. Or along with faith in. So are we clear then? We have a belief, we have a faith in Christ, in his crucifixion, that he died for our sins. That is a belief we have. But that does not give us the faith of Christ unless we act on it. And that is repent, be baptized, and then we will be given the remission of sins, God tells us. Let's go to the last section here. The last section, and that is, now that we've covered faith, what gospel of Christ was perverted? So this will be an easy one because we've covered some of the scriptures already. It's included in the word faith. The gospel of Christ is perverted. If we just think about what we have learned today, okay, that Christ died for our sins, and then you think Christ, and he justifies us if we have his faith, something is perverted about that. In this case, the kingdom of God certainly is in the book of Galatians, and it is not in the book of Galatians a problem. They weren't having a problem with the fact that you are going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's one time as he wound up, and that was if you are sinning, if you're practicing sin, you will not be in the kingdom of God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. They understood that. But there was something else that ties in with the kingdom of God, and that is seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. See, those two things that we seek. The gospel of the kingdom of God is to be preached in all the world as a witness. It has been preached, but there's something else that must happen, and that is if we're going to be justified, if we're going to be forgiven, we have to involve something that Jesus Christ did. Was it works of law? And what we've done in this here, when you think about works of law, the gospel of Christ perverted, you'll see in the correspondence course, how many of you took lesson like 34 of the correspondence course in 1965? Some of you were alive, but you may not have taken it, but I can see a number of us that we weren't old enough to do that. Maybe we weren't born yet. But what I'm coming back to is the correspondence course was a solid base of foundational beliefs. And in the correspondence course, works of law was always the sacrificial law and never the Ten Commandments. If you go back, and you can see it in quite a few different correspondence courses. That was the correspondence courses. In the studies that I've heard since, some of the studies of the 1980s, there's two of them, and works of law was always the sacrificial rituals, never the Ten Commandments. Official church teaching. And then you go, and that's a couple of Bible studies that I've heard from the 1980s, and then you go to the foundational beliefs of Mr. Jim Franks, and he always preached, and this would be after CAGWA started, when he gave those foundational beliefs, always they were the sacrificial rituals and never the Ten Commandments. I hope that's understandable. Now, have there been teachers who somehow missed that? And the answer is Greg Sargent. I remember hearing a Bible study that he gave back in Cleveland in about 1970. Oh, when he first arrived there, 1975, 1976. And he gave a Bible study where he actually included the Ten Commandments. Why? Some teachers, even in Ambassador College, had gotten off the beaten path, and they were teaching works of law included the Ten Commandments. And that's not what we have ever officially taught. So Greg Sargent had to repent as he was studying more and reviewing the what we've taught, and it's like, wow. And there was a man he talked to named Mr. Richard Pinelli, and he said to Mr. Pinelli, how did it get started that more was added to that it was a perverted? And he told me exactly what happened, and it was not a surprise. You keep going, Satan the devil is able to get in there and cause some problems. So anyway, I thought I would just let you know that. You have the gospel being perverted, and it was that you must be circumcised. That was the start of it, if you are going to be saved. And circumcision had to do with ritual law. They perverted it that way, but in the 20th and 21st century, 22nd, is this a 22nd century? Anyway, this is 2015. This is the 20th, 21st century, of course. It's always, you know, if you're in 2024, well, 2025, man, honey, you're getting old. If you're in 2025, I kid my wife. I was told if I stop kidding my wife, we must have marriage problems. So, there's a different take. Satan, the devil, is able to get in there. Works of law was where the perversion was. And at that time, again, circumcision, which applied, by the way, circumcision applied to all the temple sacrifices. You couldn't keep the Passover. You couldn't go into the temple, whatever. And so that's where the perversion came. So the gospel of Christ was perverted. Let's go to one last scripture here as we close. And that is in Galatians 3 and verse 8. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Where am I going here? This is where we see that God preached the gospel. Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. So again, you come back to the word faith. Faith of Christ. Preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in your seed, and of course, it's by faith it's going to happen. So in your seed, it would be the faith of Christ. All nations shall be blessed. And then you can go to Matthew 5 and pick it up on righteousness, kingdom of God, blessed with the kingdom of God. So I'm going to stop there, but you might want to consider that and think about it. And make sure in all of this, brethren, that you keep obeying God's law, because once we stray from obedience, we lose understanding. Let's sing a hymn and praise to God.